From a grave denied. Len Dreyer, Kate said. Johnny nodded. Did you know him? To the educated eye, Kate would appear to have drooped a little in her chair. He was the guy. Which guy? The guy. The guy everybody calls when they need help with a job. What kind of a job? Any job. Wiring, plumbing, sheetrocking, mudding and taping, tile work, fishing, farming, mining, and guiding. He could turn his hand to anything. She sighed heavily. I was going to get him to help us build your cabin. Johnny's voice was stern. Somebody killed him, Kate. She pulled herself together. Yes, of course. Horrible thing to have happened. Awful. Shot, you said? With a shotgun, Johnny said, not without relish. In the chest, at point-blank range, Jim said. Jim was there? Johnny nodded. I wouldn't let anyone else go into the ice cave until he came. Good for you, Kate said. That's what Jim said. He said I must have picked up some stuff from Dad. She looked up to see a smile tucked in at the corners of his mouth and was overwhelmed by a fierce wave of remembrance. He's right about that, she said, if nothing else. He opened a notebook. I have to write in my journal now. Okay, she said. Moose burgers for dinner? Sounds good. Good, because it's your turn. Kate! She laughed but shook her head. We agreed. We'd trade off on the cooking. I cooked last night. She nodded at the package of ground meat wrapped in the butcher paper on the counter. I got it out of the cache this morning. It's thawed. But finish your journal first. I've got some stuff to do in the yard. He made a token grumble, but his head was bent over the journal before she had her jacket on. Mutt had all 140 pounds pressed up against the cabin door and exploded outside as if she had been shot out of a cannon, arrowing across the yard with her nose to the ground, tail straight out behind her like the needle of a compass, and vanishing into the brush at the edge of the clearing. It had hit the big 5-0 2 weeks before, and it had stayed warm ever since. Kate stood for a moment in the center of the yard, face raised to a sun which wouldn't set for another 6 hours. She loved spring. The May tree her father had planted was now 30 feet high, and the dark green branches of the spruce trees were tipped with new, lighter green growth. A lilac and a honeysuckle were unfurling their leaves, even as she watched, and a tamarack, the only evergreen to shed its leaves in the fall, was putting forth new needles and cones. Her father had been a lover of trees, and she was still discovering species not indigenous to the park that he had planted all over the 160-acre homestead. So were the moose, of course, but Stefan Shugak had planted enough trees to keep a step ahead, even of their big bark-stripping teeth. Forget-me-nots and chocolate lilies and western columbine and shooting stars and Jacob's ladder and monkshood clustered thickly at the edge of the clearing and around the walls of the semicircle of buildings, cabin, cache, garage, workshop, outhouse, fat with bud and the promise of a colorful month to come. It was going to be one of those summers, she could feel it, a lot of sunshine, just enough rain to keep the garden watered, hot enough to warm up the swimming hole in the creek out back. She'd felt that way during previous springs and had been proven wrong. Not yet, not this year, though, she was sure of it. She walked around behind the cabin, pausing to tap each of the 6 55-gallon drums stacked in a pyramid on a raised stand, connected to the oil stove of the cabin by a thin length of insulated copper tubing. They were all low, but it was coming up on warmer weather, and it wouldn't matter until fall, when the fuel truck made its last runs to park cabins, businesses, and homesteads. A trail behind the drums led to a rock perched at the top of the steep path that climbed down to the creek below and the swimming hole the creek had carved in the bank. The rock was an erratic, dumped there by some itinerant glacier, and her father, instead of putting it into orbit with a stick of dynamite, had left it where it was, a 4 by 6 by 8 foot of misshapen lump of weathered granite streaked here and there with the odd vein of white, glittering quartz that sparkled when the sun got high enough in the sky. The top of the rock was worn smooth from 3 generations of Shugak butts, into which groove Kate's fit comfortably. Due to a judicious thinning of trees and the precipitous nature of the cliff, the sun made a comfortable pool of golden warmth in which to sit and contemplate one's navel, a pastime to which Kate was addicted. The thinning of the trees around the stone seat had been one of Leonard Dreyer's odd jobs. He'd done a good job of it. Had taken just enough trees to let the sun through, not so many as to look as if someone had come through with the blade of a caterpillar tractor. Stumps had been cut to the ground, drilled and filled with an organic stump rotting powder, with the result that they were already being overgrown by raspberry and blueberry bushes and wild roses and, of course, the inevitable fireweed, with horsetail, forget-me-nots, and lupin fighting over what ground lay left. Usually the trees and the brush formed dark undergrowth, impenetrable by eye or foot, close, confining, to some even claustrophobic. When Len Dreyer was done, the sun dappled a landscape of trees, shrubs, and flowers that, if it hadn't been tamed, was at least open to be admired. That was the last big job Len Dreyer had done for her. She'd been able to tend to others' chores as they cropped up on her own, until Johnny Morgan had appeared on her doorstep and indicated his intention to embrace permanent park rathood. Her one-room cabin with its sleeping loft was roomy enough for one person. With Johnny, it was getting a little crowded. They'd made it through the winter, amicably, more or less, and now it was spring, with summer hard on spring's heels. They'd been spending most of their time out of doors, but autumn would come soon enough, when they would be driven back indoors, first by rain and then by snow, and then by the bitter cold of the long Arctic winter night. Kate had planned to have enough extra space to stave off the claustrophobia a second person would bring to the cabin.